seat. We are very blessed for many reasons, and you know, our church is very blessed for many reasons. One of those blessings came this week in the form of air conditioning, and that was a great thing. We all have Derek Denny to thank for helping to make that happen. Derek, thank you so much. This is the part where I told him earlier before the service, this was the part where he could probably come up on stage and jump off and probably crowd surf to the back, but we'll hold off on him. I'll tell you something else that happened this week. There's been a lot of stuff going on, and some of it, again, I'll tell you in stories later on down the road, but something that specifically happened Tuesday afternoon was that we were approved by First Federal Bank for the money that we have been looking for to buy the property, pave a parking lot, finish some things, and pay off all of our construction costs that we still owe, a total of $1.2 million, which is a huge deal. And I cannot even tell you what that feels like for me personally. I immediately went looking for a muscle car as soon as that was over with. And if you know, I found it. Seriously, it is a huge thing, and God gets every bit of the glory for what happened with that over the past week, and the whole story I'll tell you another day, but it's awesome, yeah, it's awesome. This morning, I want to share with you some stuff that God's laid on my heart about where we're headed as a church and where we're headed in just continuing to reach people. Of course, yesterday was Jive, and we got to just hang out and minister to literally hundreds of people. We honestly didn't have as many people as we've had in the past, and I think some of that was due to the amount of heat that was going on, because if you noticed, people would come and not stay all day like they have done in the past and then invite all of their friends and family because it was so stinking hot. But it was still a huge success in us getting to minister to a bunch of people that we've never gotten to do that with. And some of you may be here this morning, and if you are, welcome. Thank you for being here and for giving this a shot. You know, our heart as a church is to continue to reach people. And you know, when we started this church, a lot of people looked at me and said, you know, isn't there already some churches up there? Was kind of what I got from people, you know, that were whatever. And there's a lot of things I could input there. You know, and I would say, well, yeah, there are some churches up there. I said, you know, but God has called us to do something that's just a little bit different, to reach some people that maybe the other churches are not going to reach, and we don't want to just ignore that those people are out there. In fact, I'm probably one of those people, and one of those other churches probably wouldn't reach me if I was in their position. And so we prayed through that, and obviously we started the church. And at the heart of this, you know, there's really three major things. Number one is giving God glory. It's really, this is not about like trying to build our thing, and you could hear the money thing that we just talked about a minute ago. That's just something we had to do to have a building. Buildings are not cheap, especially in Pleasant View, and properties and all construction and all that. So this is a bare warehouse when we got it. And, you know, it's one of those things that it's not about making 24 Church big or famous or any of that stuff. It's about making God famous. And that's the heart and soul of 24 Church. And what goes with that are two other major things. And the first one is that we are supposed to be about taking the gospel to other people and reaching other people. And so you've got that going on. And then along with that is not just reaching people and just trying to, you know, grow the number of people that you have, but also it's really about, you know, helping them to gain a footing on growing in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Not just being chair setters, and not just being just people that just show up on Sunday mornings, but challenging them toward real relationship, real personal relationships with Jesus. The types of relationships that change who we are. You know, you've got certain friends that when you hang out with them, you change how you act when you're with them, don't you? Maybe you talk differently, or, you know, because you've got so many inside jokes or whatever, it's just certain things that just kind of, it's easy to, you know, and you kind of kid around, and that's cool. And for so many of us, we're missing that relationship with God. He wants us to have that type of relationship with him, that when we're hanging out with him, which hopefully if you're a Christian could be all the time, that he is changing who we are. That everything that we do kind of gets put through the grid of who Christ would want us to be. And in doing so comes the best joy of your life, the best peace that you will ever have in your life. And, you know, if you don't know Christ, then you may be sitting here and going, well, you know, there's 15,000 religions and all that kind of stuff, and I'm just here to tell you, I'm with you on the religions. I don't like them. Religion is not my thing. Jesus is my thing. He's changed my life. And I have seen him change the lives of so many people that, you know, it's one of those things you will never know until you experience. But this morning we're sharing a passage of scripture out of John chapter 4. And in this passage of scripture, we see one of those people that had not experienced Jesus yet, but she is experiencing Jesus in the moment. It is so great, this passage of scripture is. And in this passage of scripture, you've got this lady that is a Samaritan. And let me just kind of give you a little background here on the Samaritans. This was a mixed race. And of course, Jesus was a Jew. And you know, I'm just kind of, I know that this is terminology I'm throwing around here, but I want you to understand something. This was kind of like back in the day that you didn't talk to people of a mixed race. In fact, Samaritans were considered just absolutely filthy, dirty. I mean, it was like racism at its best. And Jesus had to go from one city to another, and the easiest way for him to get there, the shortest route, was going to be to go through a town called Samaria, which is an area called Samaria, where a lot of the Samaritans live, this mixed race. And a lot of people, a lot of Jews would never, ever go, even just to travel through there, they'd go around it just to stay away from these people. Because it was considered like if you went to anywhere near these people that you have defiled yourself, that you were nasty, dirty, filthy, whatever. It's almost kind of like the way people traded, you know, AIDS back several years ago. You know, when we first found out about AIDS, people were like, oh, you got AIDS, you know, and it's like this huge thing. And of course, it's still a big thing. But the way people treated people with AIDS, you know, it's like, what happens if we, you know, sit in the same seat like they sit there? And then I sat there at the same restaurant in the same seat after they did. Would I catch AIDS? Well, no, you know, but that's kind of the idea. And I'll just be honest with you, you know, we got to keep in mind here that Jesus is God, and that Jesus understood going in there, he knew what was going to happen, because Jesus knows, and we're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But you know, he knew that this was going to happen. This was no accident, and I really doubt that it was just because he just wanted to take the shortest way. But we have this passage of scripture where he runs into this lady. And it says in verse 4, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. Now I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, sixth hour meant like hours of daylight. So this is probably about noon, okay? It's about noontime. And so then it goes on right here. It says, when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus asked her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Now, right off the bat, we've got Jesus. He's going and doing the unthinkable. Now, I want to give us a little background on this lady, and we're going to see some more background in just a minute. But right here off the top, she's gone to the well at about noon. Well, something that you need to understand is that people didn't go to the well at noon. Nobody was at the well at noon. It's hot. They didn't go out to do that at noon. It's hard work, dragging buckets of water back and everything. So what they would do is they would go in the morning or in the evening. So right off the top, this lady is going at a time that she knows no one else is there. And there's plenty of reason behind this, and we're going to study into that here in just a second, because we see some things that Jesus brings out about her. But basically, what we can assume from just knowing that fact of what's going on here is that she was purposely going to the well when no one else would be there, so no one else would see her. She was an outcast of the outcasts. You ever feel like that? Jesus is sharing with her about getting a drink, and he asks, you know, for a drink. And Jesus says to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Now, right here, she starts to get confused. In verse 11, it says, sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? And she's interested. And she's thinking for a second here, you know, this living water, what is that? And where can we find it? And she goes, it goes on in verse 12. It says, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did also his sons and flocks and herds? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water so that I won't go get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. This lady thought that the water that Jesus was talking about was a material thing. She is saying, hey, you got water? That means I never have to get water again? Then I want some of that. I want to go there because, you know, I have to come here every day and get some of this water. You know, yesterday we were outside in the heat and we had these big water coolers everywhere. And this is one of the small water coolers that we used to try to take some water. And several of you helped get water around to just different stations and stuff, make sure everybody was staying hydrated. And, you know, throughout the day, I kept going to get this icy, cold water. Doesn't it look good? See how it's like all, you know, it's all cold. See, it's all ice right there. Nobody in here has got anything this cold right now. I just guarantee you. You know, the air's on, but, you know, this is still like the coldest thing in the room. Like, you brought some water in with you, or you got some coffee. Shame, you know, I don't even do coffee, but we won't go there. But, you know, this is the coldest thing. Some of you right now are going, I want that. I know you are. I'm not going to give it to you. But I am going to get some for myself. And let me just test it here for you, because I haven't had any of this yet. Yeah, that's cold. That's good. That's real good right there. You'd like it. You really would. You see, the thing about this water, and all day yesterday, is I kept getting hot, I kept going back for water, I'd get hot, I kept going back for water, is that we constantly physically have to hydrate ourselves with water. That's something that is important to our existence, to our living. And I think for so many of us, what we miss is that just as important is that we have to stay spiritually hydrated. For some of us in here, maybe you've never even drank this water that Jesus is talking about in this passage of Scripture. This woman is confused. She thinks that he is talking about a material water, and what he is talking about is a spiritual water, a water that will allow us to never thirst again, not thirst in the human sense, but thirst for life. It is living water. This passage of Scripture goes on, and the woman said to him, we just read this in verse 15, sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go, call your husband and come back. Now Jesus is playing games with her here. This is fun. And she says, I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you are right. When you say that you have no husband, the fact is that you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews came that this place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus is calling her out. And I'll be honest with you, I really don't sense that Jesus is necessarily calling her out as much as he's just saying, hey, I already know you. I already know who you are. Here's the catch. You never been to church in your life? Guess what? Jesus already knows who you are. You never had a personal relationship with Christ? Guess what? He already knows who you are. He knew me back when I was dumb and stupid and I didn't know him and I was turning him away. You see, the fact of the matter is that God knows us. He knows our name. He knew this woman. He wasn't saying, Nanadaboo-boo, you've had five husbands. And the guy that you've got right now, I know he's not your husband. I got you. Nuh-uh, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's giving her factual information about her when he had never met her in his entire life to show her that he was something other than what she had thought previously. And he was about to drive it home. And Jesus declared, after she had talked for just a moment, about, well, you know, on this mountain, you know, our fathers have worshiped and, you know, the Jews claim that, you know, you've got to worship in Jerusalem. And Jesus says this because this is what she's doing. Jesus is getting personal with her. Jesus is getting personal with her. And in turn, she's getting uncomfortable because she's like, whoa, wait a minute. You know all this about me. Okay, well, you know, that wasn't written up in the exchange. So I've got to assume that you knew that somehow else. In some supernatural way. And Jesus says to her response of this trying to get him off of track when she's talking about where their fathers have worshiped, Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. He's talking about himself. Christ. Salvation is through Jesus Christ. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. God is spirit means that he is not necessarily always physical, although he can be through Jesus Christ. But he is not confined to one place. He is not confined to the temple in Jerusalem. He's not confined to the warehouse in Pleasant View, Tennessee. And he's not confined to the hill that her ancestors had worshipped on. And Jesus is saying, look, I know you're trying to get me off base here, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell you right now that it's not about where you worship, it's about your attitude in worship. And for those of us that are believers, for those of us that already know Christ, I'm just here to just kind of remind us that our attitude in worship is everything in our relationship with him. Because worship is not just here. Worship is in everything that we do. It is what we do. Worship is what we were created to do, and we do it all the time. And sometimes we're worshiping God maybe on a Sunday morning, or you know, even at the house when we're studying scripture or praying or just kind of seeking him for some guidance or whatever it is. And sometimes we're worshiping whatever it is that is the thing that is sitting on the throne in our life. Whatever is the most important to you is what you worship. But Jesus is not sidetracked very easily. He makes his point and he keeps going. And it says in verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. She had some knowledge. She had some scriptural knowledge here. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. And this is so great because here she is. She's talking to the man and she hadn't figured it out yet. And then right here in the last verse, verse 26, it says, then Jesus declared, I who speak to you am he. You know, that's like the part where he's like, say my name. Who's your daddy? That's me. I'm the guy that you're talking about. I'm the guy that you're talking about, that all of Scripture has been pointing to, that I'm going to come and I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm going to let you know, and not only am I coming to let you know how it is, but I'm bringing salvation with me. I'm bringing the way to get to eternal life with me, and it is through me. And Scripture teaches us that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. And this morning, you know, maybe you feel like the Samaritan. Maybe you feel like the outcast. Maybe you feel like the outcast of the outcast, that you're so bad that you would go to the well at noon rather than to come to a church. And maybe this is the first time in years you've ever stepped in church. I don't know. Maybe because of your past, you think for some reason, and somebody has got you thinking down this street, that because of the things you've done in your past, you can never be saved, that you could never know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I'm telling you that my God is bigger than that. He is bigger than anything that we have ever done. We have broken his heart time and time again. I have broken God's heart time and time again. But you know what? He still loves me. And he still accepted me to be his son. And I'm telling you, I don't know where you've come from, and I don't know where you're going. But something that I can't conjure up, something that I can't do because I can't save you. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I want you to pay real attention to what's going on inside of yourself right now. Because what you're feeling and the tingliness of this is not because I'm good with words. It is because God is speaking to your heart. And God is very clear in Scripture that he won't always do that, that there are points in time in Scripture where we see God just say, I am giving them over to their sin. They have turned away from me time and time again, and eventually they can just have it. And I'm just a messenger because I love Jesus, and he has told me that I'm supposed to love everybody else, and I'm excited about that, by the way. I'm excited that we are supposed to love everybody and not just the Jews or not the other people that live on the other side of Samaria, but that we are to love everybody. And anything less than that is racism. And I'm just here to tell you today that God wants you to be his child. And him speaking to your heart right now is something worth paying attention to. God wants to change your life. I got to tell you, I thought I knew Jesus Christ as my Savior at one point in time. And I was young, and I had grown up in church, and I had done these things. But one day, I realized that Jesus wanted to get personal with me, like we see him doing with this woman. And he started telling me things about myself. And I started to realize, you know, I've gone to church. I've been going through the motions. My dad was a preacher. All of those things, but none of those things saved me. Knowing Jesus Christ and having a personal relationship with him is what saves our soul. And this morning, he wants to not just save us, but he wants to rescue us. And he is coming, and he is in the boat, and he is throwing out the raft, and he is saying, get on that. This is from me to you. Get on that. I want to rescue you, and I want to save your soul. Jesus got personal with this lady, and it really caught her off guard. But I think for us to understand this morning that Christ already knows who we are. He already knows who you are. And he already knows all the stuff that you've done. And you know what? He doesn't care. He just wants you to ask for forgiveness and say, I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want to know you personally. I want a relationship with you. Jesus, get personal with me. That's what he wants to hear. So in just a minute, the band's going to be playing. And while they're playing, me and a couple other folks are going to be out there in the foyer. And if you'd like to talk about that or just pray about that, I can't. I'm not going to force anybody to do anything. I can't and I wouldn't. But he wants to share with you the living water. If God is speaking to your heart, don't ignore that and just come out and let's just talk for just a minute. No pressure, not going to try to embarrass you in front of a large crowd or anything like that. If God's speaking to your heart, don't ignore him. Let him get personal with you. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for your word, and I thank you for how you speak so just straightforward through it. God, you are amazing. God, and the water that you offer us is unbelievable. God, it's not just cold, but it's everlasting. And this morning, God, there's some folks here, God, that need that water. I know it in my heart. And so, God, I just pray that if there's anyone here this morning that, Lord, if you're speaking to their heart, God, I pray, Lord, that they would muster up whatever courage and knock out whatever pride that they have, God, to just go talk, to just go pray for just a moment about something that maybe they've still got a lot of questions about and they still don't completely understand it. But, God, they recognize that at least you are speaking to their hearts. God, you can do that this morning. And, God, we started this church for that reason. God, to proclaim your name and to reach those people, God, that don't fit anywhere else. And God, I pray that this morning, God, if there's just one here, God, I pray, Lord, that you would draw them to you. God, as the band will be playing in a moment, God, just have us to move on out. And God, just come out there and find one of us just to talk for just a minute. God, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done for us. God, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for saving us through the cross, for the sacrifice of your son. God, I just pray we wouldn't ignore that call today, God, if you're speaking to our hearts. For those of us that know you, God, we're praying for that. And we're praying, God, that we would have the right attitudes in worshiping you and in sharing the living water that you've called us to share. We love you, Lord. May our actions and our lives show that to the rest of this world. In your name I pray.